for being here this morning. It's a beautiful Memorial Day weekend, and I know a lot of people are probably camping, but it's going to be very special to me as Memorial Day weekend. I will remember this weekend for the rest of my life. I have a question. Who here has been baptized as an adult? Okay. All righty, that's very interesting. I, for one, never thought about it until I visited my friends Rick and Peggy in Florida this past March. Their church requires them to be baptized. I shared with them that I didn't think it was necessary as long as you believe in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. You're going to go to heaven. They asked me if I had a special verse that pertained to baptism. Well, I do, and you just heard it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Yeah? That's Matthew 28, 28 and 29. Well, yes, it does say that in the Bible, but what? Are we supposed to pick and choose the verses we like in the Bible and discard the rest of them that don't fit what we think is right? No, it's not. Could Rick be right and what I thought all along be wrong? I just really was very confused. I was really perplexed about that reading, that verse. Well, wait. I was baptized as an infant. Doesn't that count? In some churches, yes. Many churches that practice infant baptism do so with the understanding that the baby is being baptized into the family of believers and dedicated to the Lord. There's no forgiveness of sin, since only the Lord can forgive sin, and only His blood can wash us clean. Revelation 1:5. There are over 88 verses in the Bible that discuss baptism. Besides our scripture that was read earlier, there's 1 Peter 3:21, and the water is like baptizing that now saves you. Not the washing of dirt from the body, but the promise made to God from a good conscience. And this is because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And how about Acts 22:16? And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on His name. This verse really struck me. John 3:5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Wow. After I came home from Florida, I did a lot of reading and asked a lot of questions. Pastor Rob was really very patient with me, asking me what I thought, how I felt. After I mentioned earlier, it's by grace, through faith, that we are saved. Ephesians 2:18. It's not by anything that we do. Salvation is only by what Christ has done. Water baptism is a church sacrament performed by Christian churches. One is infant baptism and another is adult baptism, done because a person wants to make a personal profession of faith, also called believer's baptism. It's a beautiful way to proclaim the gift of salvation, and it is to be commended. Some churches require it, but others do not. My understanding is that baptism is an outward expression of an inward change. We are not promised tomorrow. That really is a proven statement after what was done Tuesday in that shooting of all of those babies. We've all experienced pain and loss. In the past 7 years, I personally had 3 best friends die of cancer. And then in 1 year alone, I lost my mom, found my brother dead, and watched my sister die. Even Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27. God did not abandon his son, nor does he ever abandon us. We pray for those families as we pray for each other in these times of trial. Both of my kids got baptized at camp, and I was there one day when Douglas gave a testimony, and he said something about being proud of his mom. That's probably the only time he said that. That really sticks. I mean, you know, our kids are the most important thing in the world, and I don't know how those parents and friends and grandparents are going to handle all that, but they will. With God's help. This is why I decided I wanted to be baptized, so that I can publicly share with my family, friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, my commitment to be a better Christian. I am so excited to share this day with everyone here and on Facebook Live. But mostly I want to thank God for loving me unconditionally. Thank you. And now I'm going to give Pastor Rob his 10 minutes.
Thanks so much, Krista. Really beautiful sharing today, and I want to especially thank you for sharing with us the celebration of your baptism into God's kingdom with our church family all together here. Thanks for your wonderful testimony about God's faithfulness through your life and how you've been learning to live your faith in thankfulness, and how that's going to bring us to our time together today. I'm so excited that we'll be having this baptism together with Krista and also with Arlene Tyler in a little bit, and we'll celebrate all together after the sermon, and Arlene will be able to say a few words about what baptism means to her as well. Krista mentioned something really powerful in her testimony about coming to this opportunity. And I think it's something that it's worth all of us reflecting on a little bit today. There are a lot of different beliefs and practices and styles of baptism that different churches do in the Christian faith. And many of us may know how, over time, we as Christians have gotten in big fights and even split our communities up over these disagreements and all of these differences. We seem to know that baptism is really important, and so we do make a big deal out of it, but perhaps all of its meaning needs to be recaptured and rediscovered a little bit if the best way that we know how to make a big deal about it is just to get in fights and ruptures over it. I think reflecting on the full meaning of baptism is really valuable for us when we get opportunities like today. This is partially just because we're doing this baptism with Krista and Arlene together as a church family. So all of us have a stake in what's happening and should be excited to support Krista and Arlene as they live their baptism out with us. It's also because we as Christians all share baptism as part of what unites us as God's family. And so we can keep being reminded and inspired for our own baptism and how we live it out whenever another spiritual sibling of ours gets baptized as well. And that might be a long time ago for some of us. Many of us may have gotten baptized in slightly different circumstances, but it is still something that is very unifying. But I also want to acknowledge that we're in the midst of a season, like Krista mentioned, where the meaning of a lot of things in our life, not just baptism, but almost anything, is called starkly into question. When we're faced with tragedy, when we're faced with suffering and heartbreak, those types of things that leave us calling out, why did this happen? That naturally leads to a lot of other questions. Questions like, what can be done to make all of this stop? And is there anything that I could possibly do to help? And do the things that I'm doing even matter if there's stuff like that going on in the world and it's not helping in some way? And especially if my faith says it brings hope and answers, is that also true even for this immense heartbreak and problem? How can I connect to that when it feels so overwhelming? Is there something in my faith that is hopeful and powerful enough even for that? Krista anchored us in some very important meanings of baptism in what she shared already. She reminded us that baptism is not about living up to some particular person's expectations or some particular group's expectations about how to do things. Baptism is about participating in the gracious life of God's grace. She reminded us that baptism is something that you do as an individual, but that does not make it strictly personal. Baptism connects us together with all of God's family and strengthens the bonds that we share. And she reminded us that baptism is not a finish line of faith, but baptism is an act of commitment to new life in God's kingdom, and that transforms us. It transforms all those that we come in contact with, and it even can transform the whole world. So I want to spend a little bit of time looking together at other key meanings of baptism. And these might not be ones that we notice or talk about as much. It might be harder to remember. But I really do believe that baptism is not just for having a ceremony to be happy about the fact that we're all on the same team. Baptism is truly meant to be a part of what God gives us for facing even the worst parts of life, even the darkest parts and hardest parts of the world. Somehow, what we will do today is not an escape. It is an empowerment to see light and life, even when we experience darkness of any kind. And hopefully, sharing that together today can not only deepen the meaning for Krista and Arlene, who are joining us in this sacrament, but also deepen the meaning for all of us, together as God's baptized family, willing to bring life where it is needed. Our passage in Ezekiel shows God offering baptism and new life to people in the midst of circumstances that really are not that much unlike our own right now, swirling in pain, in heartbreak, in injustice, and uncertainty. Ezekiel is an exile book in the Old Testament. So Ezekiel was a prophet and had a priestly role for the community after they had been carried off from Judah and Jerusalem to Babylon and then remained under occupation and essentially kidnapped in another country in Persia for multiple generations. And they had been told by the prophets that the reason why this was happening is because they had failed God's values and God's expectations of how to live as God's people. They had turned to other solutions besides God's love and grace and justice. They had gotten embroiled in all of the fighting and power struggles and militarism of the countries around them, and so essentially they had made the bed and they needed to lie in it. But God was also promising at this stage and through Ezekiel and others that he would restore them, that he would bring them back and give them the opportunity again to live out those values, not only amongst people who were not their own, but who they were having some sense of bond with, but also together again in a homeland. And so hearing these words in those circumstances where they were very mindful of all the things that can go wrong, of all of the ways that we can fail each other and fail God, we can be reminded that baptism comes to us where even claiming to be God's people we know means that we are not immune from being the cause of problems to ourselves and to the world. We're not immune from being prone to look the other way when things go wrong. We're not immune to being hesitant to do things that might help bring relief. And really, that's the truth that we have to accept can profane God's name in the world, as the Ezekiel passage mentions. that God's people can, even us, be enmeshed in tragedy and injustice rather than being the powers that work with God to bring protection and relief from it. And yet, even in the midst of that, God says, I do not leave you alone. Not only will I come to act, but I will gather you and invite you to participate and bring the holism that I strive for. God brings them home, gives them a way of restoration. And that is an amazing hope and grace that we are offered that we might be able to follow as well. And this, by the way, hints at a meaning of water that's in the Bible beyond the simple happy washing that we initially have come to mind for baptism. See, in the Bible, water was also often and even usually a symbol of chaos and danger. The waters were the thing that the Spirit hovered over at the beginning of creation and symbolized chaos that God's creation would bring order into. The flood was the waters of chaos before the rainbow and recreation again. God's people had to go through the Red Sea and the Jordan River and the Exodus to establish their homeland, and that was chaos and danger for them. When we're struggling in seasons like this, we can remember that baptism is not an arbitrary symbol that we do for ourselves. Baptism is God coming right into the swirling, stormy chaos and inviting us to join God in making of even those waters cleansing, quenching, life-giving water. And in so doing, we don't just find our own satisfaction, but we submit ourselves to God to be made new and see the world, even in its chaos and darkness, also made new. We should also notice how God initiates this process by calling his people together so that they can get some distance from that chaos, from that injustice, from the suffering that they were enmeshed and entangled with. They're brought back home out of all of the nations that they had been scattered to during the exile, so that God could give them a new character and a new vision that they could live out instead. We are also all similarly gathered together by the act of baptism to join in that new way of life. But it's not the end, it's merely a nexus point. We see that in Matthew 28 from the commandment that Jesus gives to complete the picture of baptism. When we hold both of these passages in the full tradition of baptism together, we see the full meaning. The complete picture begins to come into focus. God calls us to leave our lives. We're gathered from the nations, especially where we might be wrapped together with oppression and suffering and injustice and cruelty and all the rest. And then we are baptized into a new way of life, the next point. So that, as Jesus tells us, we can go back out and we're called to join God again in all those nations that we were gathered from, so that we can transform all of that darkness where it is still found with God's loving, gracious way of life. We must notice with this idea that for Jesus, baptism, by the way, is not an act unto itself. It comes within a list. It's a list that includes becoming disciples, constant learners who are humble and willing to keep being corrected and to grow. And also it comes in a list with obedience, following, accepting that salvation life is not a status to sit in, but it's us always doing our best to join in what God is doing. And so again, a deeper meaning beyond washing within baptism emerges, that of joining Jesus in the act of dying under the waters and then being reborn as we emerge. Being baptized is not an expression to say, I'm a Christian, because it brings with us a lot more words than we might expect. When we're invited as those baptized into new life, into the world that we know needs itself so much salvation and transformation, our baptism, our way of saying I'm a Christian, says even more. It says, no, I will not be tempted to see my neighbor who God created as the enemy and demand that they end up exactly like me or be pushed to the side. I'm baptized, so that way of life is dead to me. We say, no, I will not see God's good creation as a zero-sum game and make my comfort and preferences more important than what others need to thrive and what all of us need to live in peace. I'm baptized, so that way of life is dead to me. We say, no, I will not use God's name as justification to arrogantly prop myself up, to pile blame and shame on others, to say I have no part in or no concern for the problems that we experience here. We say, I'm baptized, so that way of life is dead to me. Then when we come up out of the water and say that I'm a Christian, we're able to say more things with God, that I'm a part of God's way of life where I love my enemies and I seek their well-being and transformation. And I also will seek God's change for me when it's revealed that I've been an enemy to someone else. We say I'm a part of God's way of life where I find joy in sharing the abundance that God has given all of us to support each other. And I know that it's for my good when I let go of those things that bring fear, that bring grasping, and that bring harm amongst us. And we say, I'm a part of God's way of life that enters the chaos, that walks through the struggle, that shares the burden, and that loves through the brokenness so that the kingdom is experienced on earth as it is in heaven. Hopefully, we don't just perform baptisms. Hopefully, we don't just go through a symbol because it seems like it fulfills someone else's expectations about whether or not we've checked off all the right boxes on our list. Hopefully, we let baptism do all of its work in us, all of the time. Hopefully, we keep offering ourselves to God to bring all of the meaning and power of baptism to become reality, not only in our lives, but in the lives of all of those that we come in contact with. And hopefully today that makes baptism important for us, for Krista, for Arlene, for our entire family. Even and especially when we're trying to figure out what do we do in the darkest of circumstances. The answer is we lived like baptized people. We become bonded together. We say that we let certain ways of life die, and instead we bring and participate in God's new life in each and every situation. And that helps us let go of those things that we should. And that helps us be able to stand up for those things that we should. For me, God says one of the most amazing phrases in all of Scripture in our passage in Ezekiel today. And it's connected to that baptism. It's connected to what we are all sharing in as we celebrate baptism. God says, I will prove myself holy to them through you. That's what we're going to do right now. We're going to open ourselves up to God's holiness. We're going to expect that it is poured out. We're going to commit ourselves to living it, even in some small way, and trust that the world, even in its darkness, can change when we live as such people who enter the chaos, who are washed clean, who die and reemerge and face whatever there is, and bring God's life wherever it is needed. Let's join in that together.